center of the universe, on the planet Eternia, looms Castle Grayskull, ancient fortress of mystery, its power sought by the dark forces of Snake Mantle, sanctuary of sin and sorrow, ruled by the demon Skeletor and his evil acolytes.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, doing something a little different this week. We are going to be talking about Masters of the Universe Revelation. Who cares? We're talking about the new He-Man show on Netflix from 2021, the year of our Lord Kevin Smith. And this is Knowing Is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
I'm Robert Clark Chan.
Singular revelation. There's only one revelation to be had. If any more revelations happen, it is
more
out of bounds. I'm Gina Ippolito.
And we are talking, we decided to do something a little different with the show because there are five episodes of the new Masters of the Universe TV show that's on Netflix.
Is that it? Oh.
There's only five episodes of the first part, and then later they're going to drop the five episodes of the second part. So we just figured this is right up our alley. This is a show people are talking about. Let's do all five episodes, and we'll just alternate them with the G.I. Joe Extreme stuff that we've been doing, and let's just have some fun with it.
I don't know where I am. I don't know what's going on.
No, this is what Ray agreed on because
wait a minute.
This is absolutely not in our wheelhouse. We never watch shows because other people are talking about them.
He-Man is a show we've done several times.
We're not a zeitgeist podcast, Ray. Mm-hmm. We're the least zeitgeisty podcast.
Right, we might be the least. So let's put on a little bit and see how we like it. Take it for a walk.
Yeah, I see what this is all about. This guy trying to like beef up our Patreon. Nah,
how dare you? Our Patreon got beefy when people heard Gina wasn't going to be on the show.
Oh, now you've done it.
No, yeah,
now you've set off her air quotes bronchitis.
Yeah. Ooh.
It was the laughing that did it. Laughter is the worst medicine.
Old COVID Mary over here. Thank goodness I didn't look in my house anymore.
In case, first of all, I don't have COVID. I think it's just bronchitis. But in case any insurance companies are listening, I don't have COVID. That's a fact. You can look it up. I got a negative COVID test from the Walgreens drive-thru.
There you go. Are we calling her Gina Ippolovid 19 now? Is that what we're doing?
Wow. You had all that time while Gina was talking to come up with something better.
No, I felt strong about it. Maybe that's on me.
It sounds a little too much. It reminds me too much of fallopian tubes, and I don't like it.
No. I mean, to be fair, fallopian tubes, a funny thing to say out loud.
Gina Ippolopian tubes is pretty great, though. I would go with that. Oh, yeah, I got my Ippolopian tubes tied, and so now I can't have kids anymore.
Oh, man. Now I like it. If I'm responsible for fewer kids being born, I like that nickname.
Here we go. Yep. Yep, there it is. So you guys might have realized last week, of course, we did the live show, Find Your Fate, Operation Dragonfire, Book 2 of the Find Your Fate, Choose Your Own Adventure style book series of G.I. Joe. Gina Ippolito, unfortunately, had just come back from the East Coast, and she was just wrecked with what we'll call bronchitis, and she was not able to join us. Weirdly enough, as soon as I posted that Gina Ippolito would not be on the show, three new people joined the Patreon and all joined the show that day.
Oh, for real? So,
I don't know what to make of this. Is what you're saying. They did not want me.
Technically, you would have already had to have been part of the Patreon in order to see the message saying that Gina wasn't going to be on the show. So I don't know if these two are connected, but it feels connected.
Look, when I was in New Jersey, I saw a couple of friends from high school. We went to the Jersey Shore. And I happened to, one of them had seen a post that I had made about how I'm on WikiFeet, which led us to WikiFeet,
where I
discovered that there is a new picture of my feet on there.
There's a new one?
And I don't know. And the weird thing is that it's not, as far as I can tell, it's not one that I posted on social media. It's just one that someone took of my feet.
Oh, boy.
What I'm saying is if people are joining the Patreon, the least we could do is give them pictures of my feet.
I mean, look, Gina, unemployment's been tough for me, and I've had to make some ends meet, all right?
This is just like that episode of Hacks.
Oh, Lord. Hacks. Oh, my goodness.
Anybody?
Zeitgeisty. No, just me. We're just getting me. Real zeitgeisty
okay,
here.
That's fine. It's a good show.
Smart it's on my to-watch list.
An American
but I'm
treasure.
I'm currently watching 10 other shows because I decided to do a new thing.
Oh, God.
Where I watch something on each of the streaming services, and then I rotate them. So I go Netflix, what? Amazon Prime, Hulu.
What is why
Disney
what?
Plus, this and makes then no HBO. Sense. Go.
What is going on?
Oh my goodness,
Jesus!
Look, I live alone. I have to find ways to entertain myself. Right Gina, now, you, that is I'm, cycling through the different streaming.
Oh no,
services.
You were delightfully eccentric. You're dangerously close. To peeing in jars, Howard Hughes style.
What? Just because I'm watching different shows on different streaming services?
Yeah, you may as well. Chan's right. You may as well be peeing in jars at this point. Yeah.
Look, there's certain things that certain like I've got Arrow and the Flash on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
For some stupid reason, I started to watch Mr. Robot on Amazon Prime,
mm-hmm.
which I had watched the first season of and liked. You know, Disney Plus has got is rocking the
Bluey,
the Avengers cartoon,
Captain Bluey.
Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, the animated series. HBO, I've got way too many things going on.
Oh, goodness. Well, you know what else Netflix has? It's He-Man and the Masters of the Universe reboot.
Never heard
what?
Of it.
Masters of the Universe Revelation. Now, this is done by Kevin Smith. And I, we'll get into it a little bit here, but Chan, what did you think of this opening sort of, I wouldn't call it a theme song per se, but an opening video telling, but it's to your liking, I would hope, that it tells us where we are and what we're doing.
You would hope, wouldn't you?
I would hope that you would like it, yeah.
Well,
here's the thing.
Does this happen every episode?
I don't believe it does, but I could be wrong.
Oh, that's true, because Netflix
the
usually
intro?
Skips an intro. Yeah. Like this whole, in the center of the universe, Mount Eternia, Grayskull Castle. Because if so,
I doubt
too
it.
Much.
Everything, I will say everything about this, you know, I hadn't watched it yet, and I only watched the pilot. And everything about this pilot and this show screams that it was made for streaming. Because spoiler
well,
alert,
it was made
there's
for
not,
Netflix.
There's not much meat to the pilot, and if you were doing that in a like once a week we drop an episode thing, I don't think people would have continued watching it, because it's in that weird spot where it's like it's not really for kids, it's sort of for the nostalgia crowd who grew up with it. So like if you're a kid and there's a thin plot. Like it's fine. Kids are stupid. You know, they don't know what a plot is. They just see shiny things on the TV. But if you're an adult and there's a thin plot, you know, like there's like, I was left after this episode being like, did I just watch an entire episode? What the hell was that? Not that the episode was bad. It's just very clearly setting up the series.
Yes.
Versus like, you know, there's not much character development. There's not much story development. It feels like,
you don't
it
think?
Feels like the first 5 minutes of a movie.
Wow.
And like, that's not, you know, like that's what it felt like. It felt like, oh, this is the setup to the things that happen. That's what I thought about it.
Interesting.
Ray, I'm just curious.
Yes.
Did you expect both of us to be super into this show?
Yes.
That's what I thought. I started to hear in your voice, you seemed a little blindsided, and believe me, you're going to get a lot more blindsided as we go along.
Guys,
here's the thing. I will say, I sort of expected to love this too, and there was a lot of stuff that I liked about it. I really dig the voice acting. I really dig the animation.
Yeah. Yep.
And all in all, like, it improved upon the shortcomings of the original show in certain ways that we can get into. That being said, the fact that like they just sort of throw you into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like fights and there's like this thing that happens and then it's over. And I wanted more from it, especially knowing Kevin Smith and knowing like what a great writer he is and knowing how much he loves this property. Clearly. I was expecting more. And then that, but that's why I think if you go into it looking at it as if these five episodes make one movie versus, oh, this is episode one and then this is episode two. Like, to me, this isn't the ideal way to watch it. The ideal way would be to binge it all at once.
To be fair, I did watch it one episode at a time and then took time off in between them until I got to the final two episodes, four and five. Then I watched them in a row. Because once you get to, isn't that right? When you get to a series that you've been watching and you know the next episode is the last one of the season, you just push forward. You just do it, right?
Like, oh, I like to delay it.
Oh, you're an edger.
Yeah, if I know I'm close, I want to pull back a little. I don't want it to end. That's
one of the things
that I've had.
Thank you. One of the things I really appreciated about this show is, and I've been talking about this a lot with a lot of different properties and remakes, because now that Gen X has the reins of Hollywood, we don't know what the fuck to do other than shit we had as a kid. That's my working theory right now. And that's why everything's getting rebooted.
Which, here's the thing. I mean, I love it. I love that. Also, you know, like as someone who wrote on a revival of a show, I enjoy it. I'm not one of those fucking grumpy pants magoos that's like, why is everything a reboot or a revival? I'm like, yeah, give me all that sweet, sweet fucking nostalgia into my veins.
See, I agree with you.
And this, like I said, this did improve upon a lot of stuff in the original, and I thought the voice acting was dope.
I agree. I mean, completely. There's a few different things here. Is one, obviously, Kevin Smith loves the property, and I think that if you're going to do a reboot, you have to put someone in charge of it who loves and respects the property, right? The original, like those Spider-Man movies, worked because Sam Raimi thought Spider-Man was an important story to tell and wanted to do it right. And other things like the Fantastic Four movies, clearly the person doing those didn't give a shit. The rebooted G.I. Joe movies, which we haven't talked about a lot on the show, but the two live action movies that came before Snake Eyes clearly were being made by people who didn't give a shit. And it comes across in the final product like, well, if you don't give a shit, why should I? So I love the fact that He-Man really took use of its rich history. They really showed you sort of an animation style and picture ideas that I want to see in the way I imagine it. And their use of tertiary characters and pulling out all these really, like, Stinkor will show up at some point. You know, we got Moss Man in this episode. We got, what's his name, Clawful. I mean, all of these sort of just like moderate characters all, you know, get an appearance and all get a little moment to shine at various points. And I just think that's absolutely fantastic when you have
how
a pantheon
many
of,
them got murdered?
Of characters big. What's that? Some of
how
them
many
got
of them were
yet.
Dragged out just to get murdered? So you'd be like, oh, okay. This isn't my father's, or I guess this isn't my He-Man.
But here's the thing. I did like that he clearly knows what people like from the original, though, because like the first thing I noticed was that like Orko's an ass and everyone hates him, and I was like, yep. Yeah, that's like, I love that they kept that people are sort of fed up with Orko and his bullshit.
Yeah,
you know, and like Cringer was exactly the same. So I thought that he did a good job of keeping enough the same and then making slight tweaks. Like I really did dig that. Prince Adam looks different than He-Man.
Very
in
much.
This one. Like that he's sort of like a scrawny kid that you would not expect to be He-Man. Because in the original, it was just like, oh, who's this like huge buff guy? I don't know. Is he maybe Prince Adam, who's also a huge buff guy that looks exactly the same?
No, because so, Adam like, wears I a like white the, t-shirt.
Yeah, I like those. I like those small changes. He looks younger. It's similar to Shazam, if you will. He looks like a kid Fair. Version of... Of He-Man.
Gina, we were not talking about your pedo tendencies on air, so people don't know that you wanted to bone the kid version of Shazam. Gina,
No! Before you send the cops to my house, I want to bone Zachary Levi. But,
as a
I,
child.
But only if
but
he
I
has
don't...
the mind of a child.
I specifically said not when he has the mind of a child.
Oh, okay. I got very confused by that.
My mistake. That was on me.
But I do like that, you know, like he's skinny and scrawny, and then he's like this fucking buff like dude that's like 6 years older. It sort of helps suspend the disbelief that people don't know it. And also, you know, the other thing is, which you know, Kevin Smith is very, especially since his daughter turned, you know, got older and he started putting her in things, he's very aware of female characters and how they were treated yep. in properties that he loved. And one of the things he does well here is the women are the most fleshed out in this episode. Like even fucking Evelyn like sheds a tear at some point and you're like, oh shit, like Evelyn's got some shit going on. Prince Adam's mom secretly knows he's He-Man, but never like told her husband. So there's some shit going on there. Mm-hmm. The Sarah Michelle Gellar character, what's her butt? Tila, like she's sort of front and center in this, and it's all about her and things like that. So like he does do a lot well. Literally the only thing that I thought wasn't done super well was the plot of the episode.
See, I don't agree with that. I guess, and we'll get into the plot as we go. No, it is thin.
I can sum up the plot in like two sentences, and if I said it, you would be like, yeah, that's the prologue to a movie, right? That can't be a standalone episode.
And I guess maybe because I've seen the other four episodes, I kind of got a vibe for where they were going, because you talk about Tila, Sarah Michelle Gellar, and she is going to be front and center of these five episodes. Like, we are going to follow her journey through this. And I think what Kevin Smith sought out to do with this is he said to himself, what if we just took the world of He-Man and we removed He-Man and Skeletor from the mix by killing them both? Where does that put the other Masters of the Universe? What happens to the world of Eternia if we choke out the magic and remove the two most powerful characters in it? And then spin from there. And I think the whole purpose of this first episode, to your credit, to your point, is to get us to that point. So it is really more of a prologue than a full-on episode. But as a standalone episode to reintroduce us to the world, to show us, yo, people are going to be getting murdered here. You know, oh, by the way, you know, we have this big surprise ending, spoiler alert, that He-Man and Skeletor both get killed at the end of the episode, leading us into a thing where Tila gets pissed off to find out she's the only person who didn't know that Prince Adam was He-Man. She's rightfully pissed and quits her job that she just got as the new man at arms. Like, there is so much to love here, and it's so enriched. I agree with you to the point where, yes, it is a little thin, but I guess I see it as serving a different purpose than you do.
But that's not, here's the thing, that's not a pilot though. Like, that's not, you know, like what this pilot did was like, is a prologue. Like, it's not
correct.
Either make it an hour long episode for the pilot that like leads into these other episodes, or just do it as have those five episodes be a movie, but don't call that a pilot. Like, it's just not, it had, you know, like it was just so thin that it barely had even like A plot lines and B plot lines and C plot lines. Like, it's just not like if it was an hour long, I would have really dug it. If they hit that point that they hit there, like mid episode instead of end of the episode, and there was more sort of setting up of what was going on and things like that. But the fact that that was one episode, and like I see what they're doing, I see what they're setting up, but trying to sell us on the fact that that is one episode is not, like, again, if it was something that you're watching just like week to week, I would be like, that's it. I feel like I, you know, like went to Burger King and got a small fry and went home.
You did, but that didn't leave you wanting more. Like, where do we go from here? Because I think that is the entire point of this episode. Off.
Well, you can't eat more than a small fry at Burger King, for crying out loud. What are you?
If I get home and there's only small fries available, I'm pissed.
Man, nuggets are 10 for $1.49 there, Gina. So I think that's your mistake.
Listen, when I order McDonald's, I'm getting fries, I'm getting nugs, I'm getting at least the cheeseburger. There's probably an apple pie in there. There's a soda involved. If you're just giving me the fries, I'm probably gonna switch to Wendy's.
Interesting. Interesting. All right. Fair enough. Chan, how did you feel? Well, let me open up the plot a little bit here. Because, Gina, I thought you'd be very, very happy at the anti-fireworks message present right here in the opening scenes of the show.
Yeah, I'm Team Cringer here.
Yeah.
I'm really not. I think organized fireworks are fine if you're my stupid fucking neighbors who are just like setting off illegal fireworks. Not fine. But if I'm in Eternia and everyone's like, hey, there's a huge ass fireworks show that we've been setting up for months, I'm in favor of that.
But in fact, Teela did not know that there would be fireworks. She specifically says,
yeah,
she was gonna call out because
that's true. She was out on patrol. Now, what is a man's home, but not his own castle? So perhaps the people here in this realm set off these fireworks, not alerting the other kingdoms around them. Perhaps, Gina, they are the dicks after all. It's not quite as organized as you think.
A castle's not like tons of people live in a castle, and it's a countrywide celebration that they're doing. There's free food. If you're giving me free food, you can set off fireworks.
Yeah, it's a celebration.
It's not just a small fry.
It's a celebration for Teela's promotion, but nobody told Teela that there would be fireworks.
That's insane. At all.
That is very weird. I think maybe it was supposed to be a surprise for her because I think she clearly doesn't realize that they were going to make a big to do about it. Mm-hmm. She seems like the type of lady that was like, oh, I don't need a fuss. But then everyone's like, let's make a fuss. And she was like, what? You made a fuss for me?
Yeah. I mean, and to break it down for people at home, Teela is like Prince Adam He-Man's childhood friend. She is a very, very capable combatant general fighter. And she is right now in the process of ascending. She was an orphan taken in by Man at Arms, who is sort of the second, you know, the right hand man of, if you will, of He-Man, who works as sort of like the leader of the guard for King Randor of this land. And King Randor is He-Man's father. There you go. It all works out together. Teela is now ascending to the role of Man at Arms, and there's a big to do about it to be had. And Orko is there too, and we all love Orko. I'll be honest, I liked Orko better here. Because he didn't feel like such a dumb shit. He still didn't know anything, but it seemed like he came from a more grounded place than dumbass Orko from the 80s.
Well, they actually do. And again, this is sort of smart writing on Kevin Smith's part. They do, when push comes to shove and there's like a bit, and there's a big battle, he does rally in. And he has sort of a redeeming moment. Because in the original, it's sort of like, why do they keep this guy around? Why do they let him do anything? They should put him in a home with like jello pudding to eat and just be like, and like, so then when he's like, I used to do magic, you can be like, yes, Orko, you used to do magic. And here, you know, they set up the old running bit from the 80s cartoon where he's terrible at it. Yep. Anything he tries to do, he's just sort of a mixture of bad at magic and scatterbrained. But here they give him a redeeming moment where you're like, oh shit, okay, this is kind of why they keep him around, because when it's life or death, he can sort of go to bat.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a good upgrade from the original where he never did anything.
Yeah. And so we cut over to He-Man going to Castle Grayskull, which is sort of on the other side of the land. And
it's like a mile and a half away because you can see the fireworks over there.
Yeah,
so
you can walk it, but you'll be a little sweaty when you get there.
It's just a real inconvenient distance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not right next door. It's not as close as your local Starbucks. It's more like as close as your local Sonic.
It's the distance between my place and Ray's place, which I will walk to when I watch the cats. But yes. I require some time in the AC when I get there to cool off before the walk back. And I usually regret it because I don't want to do that mile-long walk back.
I mean, who could blame you? Who would want that? That's what Lyft is for. So He-Man is not at the celebration. He's bringing two of these other characters, two minor characters, Clawful, and another guy, this purple dude who I completely recognize but could not remember his name for my life. And he is taking them in to the sorceress at Castle Grayskull as prisoners. And it all turns out to be a gigantic ruse where it turns out that Clawful is actually Skeletor. It turns out that the purple guy is Evil Lyn. And it also turns out, surprise, surprise, secondary twist, He-Man is actually, I think his name is Fakor, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, something
like
that.
He's like a fake metallic He-Man character. And Sorceress is like, I didn't think for a second, Skeletor. Y'all didn't fool me. That was a bad trick. And then the He-Man Fakor dude grabs her and he's like, did you see that, biatch? And I was sort of like, whoa, Skeletor is competent. I love it.
Yeah, this was another thing that they took a very common thing from the 80s version, went slightly deeper, because having one of the characters be Skeletor, you know, like a very, that's a very surface level thing that they would do in the 80s cartoon, but then having it, you know, like having Sorceress be distracted by that ruse and not seeing the other one was a nice added layer that was
it.
Again, I felt like, okay, this is a good extra layer. I genuinely thought that was He-Man.
Yes, I did too. Because we were tricked, because like He-Man's right there and he delivers it. And then all of a sudden it cuts over to Adam being over at the party and you're like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah. That was a nice bit of storytelling. I will also say this all happened so fast.
Yeah,
that this is part of me sort of feeling like the plot was thin, because they dive right into it. Like there's no, it's just like party, He-Man's over here doing this thing. Oh shit, it's not He-Man. Yeah. All within the first like couple minutes. So I would have loved if they had sort of spent more time with it a little bit.
I don't know.
I
guess they figure you already know who these people are because you're watching this. And if you didn't, they gave you like a 2-minute preamble to explain all this stuff to you before you get started.
It's not,
to at least refresh your memory.
But it's not for the purpose of, oh, we don't know them. It's for the purpose of tension building. Like it almost, it happened so fast that it was just like, oh shit. All right. I guess that just happened. Versus like it would have been cool to see some, you know, some back and forth between the sorcerer and this fake He-Man. But instead, it's literally they walk the guys to the door. The sorceress is like, hey, and then they're like, fuck, psych. And I would have loved for it to like build a little bit of tension of, you know, like He-Man being like, oh, I, you know, like here are these two guys, and they trash talk her a little bit. And then because it would have had more of an effect if you, because you're obviously expecting something to go wrong. But the fact that they did that and then immediately did the other one, it didn't build the tension in the way that it could have, in my opinion.
Because I felt they just kept heightening the situation over and over again, because I also love Skeletor's plan with the double, triple fake out using the shaping staff in order to conceal their identities. But then they knew that Sorceress was going to be able to put up a little force field. So they were like, yo, we brought everyone from Snake Mountain. We brought an army to attack the castle while I'm also attacking you with the three of us. And so Sorceress, you're not going to be able to withstand that. It's too much. You'll be overwhelmed by this overwhelming show of force that I brought. And yeah, you can manage for a while, but you're not going to be able to manage for very long. I love this plan. And you guys know me. I love when bad guys are competent. It makes me so happy.
But again, they don't let anything land. They don't let anything land before moving on to the next thing. It feels like they're throwing everything at you all at once. It would have been great for the sorceress to like take in the fact that, oh shit, like have I lost a step? I saw this, you know, psych out, but I didn't see this. I didn't realize that wasn't He-Man. Like, what does this mean for me? Oh my God. Like, okay. Like see her sort of contemplate it and then gain a step back, like as she's formulating a plan, before then hammering her with the fact that even if she does come up with a plan, there's all this other shit going on. The fact that it's like, hey, that's really Skeletor. Also, that's really He-Man. Also, we've got an army. No one thing like has any sort of emotional resonance. Like to me, the best plots are the ones where, you know, you see, oh, she's got a shot. Like she's fucking rallying. Yeah, they sprung this on her, but look, she's doing X, Y, and Z. before you then get the rug pulled out from you again. This to me was just like someone pulled the rug out. And then while you're laying on the floor was like, I'm going to pull the rug out again. And it's like, who cares? I'm already on the floor. fucking pull it. Like you got the rug in your hand. Where are you pulling it out from, motherfucker?
I mean, we got to talk about the fact that this person has two rugs on their floor, one on top of each other.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
It's crazy.
That is a little bit weird. No, I would say this episode definitely doesn't take the time to breathe in any particular moment. It does. They got a lot of stuff they're trying to get through. And I will agree with you there. I would have loved a little bit more time to linger. It's a Netflix show. It doesn't have to fit under a certain like commercial structure. So you could have taken a little bit of extra time to let some of these battles play out further, to let the moments breathe a little bit more. And I will 100% back you up on that.
And it feels very sort of like ADD, like someone was like, oh, and then this happens. Oh, crap. And then this happens. Oh, and then this happens. And you're like, okay, wait, like the outline is there, but I need some, you know, bones filled in. Right now you just got floppy skin.
That's fair. Well, we cut back over to the castle, and I love the fact that King Randor takes a shot at Prince Adam. I don't have the chance. I don't know if you have the exact line queued up, but I just wrote here, King Randor, shots fired. It's something to the effect of just like, man, I'm glad someone here isn't disappointing their parents.
he says something along.
That's parental pride, Adam. Something I hope I can feel one day, as you are.
Oh! Jesus Christ. Whoa!
Damn, dude, that's cold.
What the fuck? Like, okay,
Yeah, go for it.
Here's the thing. I've been largely quiet because I watched this when, a month ago or so, a little bit ago. And I was like, I feel like I'm coming in with some preconceived notions. One, I thought She-Ra was amazing. Sure. And so I honestly was like, well, if it's not going to stand up to that, then why even bother? So like, I probably came in a little too hot with it. And so I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to step back. I'm going to watch it again for, you know, knowing half the podcast, and then we'll see what's what. And it still didn't connect with me. And then Gina apparently had some shit to say about it. So I was like, I'll sit back and see what Gina says. And maybe I'll figure out what it is. Cause I didn't know what it was that I had the problem with. And, like I am the person who's like, where's the original stuff? This is poo poo. I don't want nostalgia. and there is so much nostalgia that's been thrown at us, you know, the past 10, 20 years or whatever, sure, that it's become its own form. And now those forms, you know, like the self-aware nostalgia has sort of worn thin. So now if you're going to serve that to me, like really mix it up. Cause like, I need to see something new. I don't want to see the exact same thing again.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm there for. That's not the nostalgia kick that I want. So the problem that I had with this is that it is all plot and it is basically a prologue, which is fine because it is a streaming show. So you are going to get 5 episodes, 10 mm-hmm. episodes or whatever on the dump, and that can just be, you know, part of the whole and not a piece in and of itself. Just the half hour that we watched is not good. It's not character driven at all. It's just a bunch of like plot points set up because like so many of these
the same issue with it basically.
Yeah.
It sounds like, and here's the thing, I will say that like it felt like they put a lot of good ingredients on a counter and then never made dinner because like that, you know, the whole, I do like the fact that they give each character a little something, like clearly, you know, like Prince Adam has sort of a fraught relationship with his father, which will be very interesting going forward when his father thinks, oh, he hasn't sort of stepped into a hero role that I would have loved for him to do. Oh shit, he's He-Man, who I really admired. How's that going to play out? I like the fact that his mom knew but didn't tell the dad and now has some guilt over that. I like that the sorceress is clearly Teela's mom. Like they gave each of them, you know, a little thing, but it feels like a lot of ingredients that they didn't put together. And like I got to admit, I still like TV to be like, you know, full episodes. Like if you think of something like, let's use Ted Lasso as an example, each episode still has an A storyline and a B storyline and a clear beginning, middle, and end, mm-hmm. whereas this felt all beginning to me. And so you can use all the justifications you want of, well, it's meant to be binged, it's five episodes, it's sort of more like a movie than anything. But if you're giving me a TV show, I want it to be a TV show. I don't want it to be, you know, like a prologue that then I have to watch the next episode before I'm like, okay, this is good.
Well, it's funny you bring up Ted Lasso as an example, because Brendan Hunt on Twitter just a little bit ago said that the intention for season two, and it's not the way it worked out, was for it to mirror the way season one came out. Apple TV with season one of Ted Lasso dropped the first three episodes at once and then yeah. trickled out the others week by week. And they were told and had the expectation this is how season two was going to work. So they actually wrote the first three episodes of Ted Lasso to be taken as one piece, and then episodically after that, which is why it's kind of bounces between characters and is all over the place in the first three episodes of season two for Ted Lasso. So it is interesting to me that you would use that example. I would argue, to your point, Gina, that each of those episodes of Ted Lasso holds together as a coherent single thought better than maybe this episode does, where it serves to like serve up what we're going to see from this point forward.
Here's the thing. I have not watched Ted Lasso season two yet, so I'm thinking of season one.
God damn it.
You're going to see it as they intended.
I was just basically picking a show that's not an hour-long streaming show and doesn't usually run long, that's sure. around the same length of this, to say they could have done an actual pilot with actual storylines. To me, this, and Kevin Smith has an interesting credit at the beginning, because I'm not quite sure how many actual non-movie things he's written. Let me just say that, because this to me felt like it was written by someone who didn't quite know that you're supposed to have, you know, like it's supposed to sort of be self-contained and. And it, like as, basically, I guess what I'm saying is, if someone wrote this pilot and I read it, I would be like, I don't. And it wasn't Kevin Smith. I'd be like, I don't know what the shit this is. There are no, there's no A plot. There's no, like, I guess you could say the A plot is like rescue the sorceress, and like the B plot is Tila, like, graduating this thing. But there's no, within those plot points, they're each supposed to have a beginning, middle, and end, which they don't. And it's irritating to watch something that's not written like a pilot should be written, knowing that it was written that way and got sold because there are big names attached, versus because it was really well written, like the pilot episode of Ted Lasso, which is a fully contained story.
Absolutely. It's fair. I mean, that's totally fair.
You can, you know, because it's streaming. I would argue that some of the problem that they had with the backlash from the pieces of crap online, like, yeah, too many women in this, is because they didn't release all 10 episodes at the same time, which is not a great call on their part, I feel like. Huh. But more importantly, like, yeah. If we hadn't done this for the podcast, I would not have watched the rest of the episodes. I watched one episode and it didn't stick with me as a thing. I was like, oh, well, if it's going to be like this, then I don't want it. So
that is what's super surprising to me.
I did not realize we were going to be watching all of them. And I had a moment.
How many times have
like,
I put this in our chat?
Listen, you guys are talking technical shit half the time. Half the time you're talking about your offspring playing together. I tune it all out at this point.
Yeah. If we don't have a picture of like hot 22 year olds, then Gina does
if the chat changes to like cute animals or food, I'm on board.
Every single time
is like post a picture of a sandwich and then be like, oh, by the way, we're watching all of He-Man. Then I'm going to be like, sandwich and He-Man. I got it.
I got it. All I have to do is find pictures of Zachary Levi, put them in our chat.
As a
I'll
child.
Get Gina's attention, but only his child yearbook pictures.
Look, if he's eating a spaghetti sandwich and petting a cat, I'll listen to whatever you have to say.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Who are you?
I'm many faces with the power to change from man to robot to monster.
Oh, no.
He-Man
sold separately.
Hi, old friend.
Hi.
He-Man, he's your friend?
Friend and ally. He's just kind of weird sometimes.
Oh, in specially marked packages, Manny Faces comes with 5 extra weapons. He-Man and Manny Faces each sold separately. Part of the Masters of the Universe collection. From Mattel.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
But I will say I had a moment where I was, you know, like I enjoy cleaning up my Netflix currently watching queue so that it's only what I intend to keep watching. And I had a moment where I thought, should I leave this in currently watching or should I remove it? And I kept it in, but I ultimately said I'll remove it tomorrow because I'm not motivated to watch the rest of it. And I was a huge He-Man fan when I was little.
Wow.
I just did not think this pilot was well written. And again, once I watch all the rest, I might think as an overall thing, it's great. But yeah, I'm not a fan of streaming shows that are like, now you got to immediately watch the next one. I will say again, love the voice acting, love the art.
Mm.
I really enjoyed the soundtrack throughout, and I realized at the end it's because it was Bear McCreary.
Bear McCreary.
I will listen to in literally anything. Like he and Michael Giacchino are my two, you know, goats on any TV show. So all of the ingredients are here. But it feels like someone came in, dumped them on my counter, and then was like, you make dinner. Whereas I'm like, I thought I was going to get a spaghetti sandwich delivered to me by Zachary Levi.
Interesting. Well, let's talk for a second, thank you, about the voice cast here. Because as far as celebrity voice casts go, because they don't use a ton of VO actors. They use some. But it is a lot of more of a celebrity cast because you've got Sarah Michelle Gellar as Teela. You've got Lena Headey.
Real quick, do you think her name is pronounced Gellar?
It is pronounced doing Gellar.
He's doing it to be funny.
The first time I thought it was a joke.
She has said it's pronounced Gellar, and we can all choose to pronounce it Geller and be wrong, but that's not what she wants. And I'm all about calling somebody what they choose to be called. Chan.
Nope.
You can look that up.
This is false.
Lena Headey was what is she? The queen.
300. Yeah.
Well, so I'm talking about from Game of Thrones. She's the Queen Lannister. She plays Evil Lyn, and she's fantastic. Mark Hamill, of course, is Skeletor. My goodness.
I'm gonna push back a little bit because he is a voiceover actor. He is a famous voiceover actor, but he is very much as someone who wrote on a show that where he voiced a character. It is very much his passion, and he's not like a dabbler. I admit that I didn't realize Sarah Michelle Gellar was in this, and I thought, oh, this is kind of strange. A little bit of strange casting. I thought she delivered. It's just she's not someone who I think of, but he is a voiceover actor. He just happens to be a famous voiceover actor.
He's also a famous on-screen actor too. I mean, there's no denying that, but you're right. He has so many VO credits. It's hard not to think of him that way. But he's also like, I would still call him a celebrity though.
Yeah, of course. But also in the last like 20 years, his resume is mainly voiceover and then like other than when he's like cameoing in something. So he to me is a voiceover actor. He's not a dabbler.
But to the point though, some of the other actors who we've either seen or about to see, you've got Justin Long, you've got Liam Cunningham, who is Davos from Game of Thrones. You have Henry Rollins, Stephen Root, Dennis Haysbert, you know, and then you
a
get
a lot of these people are not in the pilot, by the way. So
they
you're
are
naming,
not, but I'm
you're naming a lot of people not in the pilot.
that's fine. Some of them are. Liam Cunningham is Man-at-Arms, you know, so yeah. He is in the pilot. But you're right. But it's to this point, though, there is a nice celebrity voice cast that they brought together. And I think I've seen it all. And I really think that everybody they bring in really does deliver the goods in their roles. It's not just like stunt casting. But, you know, looking at the full thing laid out for me now, you do have some of the other classics. The big thing I bring this up is because Alan Oppenheimer, who is the original voice of Skeletor from the 1980s, obviously not playing Skeletor here, but they brought him in to play Mossman, who makes a very brief appearance towards the end of this episode before getting absolutely obliterated. And you could really hear it if you know what to look for there. Very, very, very fun that they brought him back to play this role on this show.
Yeah, again, that was a death that I was like, oh, shit. And then I was sort of immediately over it because they introduced him so quickly and killed him so quickly that there was no... Yeah, I guess I just didn't have an emotional connection to it. I think that they were relying too heavily on people's sort of nostalgia factor that
absolutely.
They said, like, no... People will remember him. They'll care that he died because they'll remember him from the original versus saying, okay, let's make this sort of a self-contained thing that you know, like people care that he died because, oh, he's sort of this wise old spirit thing. And also, again, like, you know, again, I like what they did. I like that they gave each character a thing. But, you know, the moment where, you know, Teela says, like, well, why did you bring us here, sorceress? And she goes, because I wanted to see you one last time. And Teela goes, me? And then you go, oh, okay, she's her mom. They made a whole big deal about how she, you know, was like an orphan and blah, blah, blah. They mm-hmm. they were obviously hitting on it for that. And I like that they didn't, you know, force feed it to you. But it was one of those things where I'm like, do I care if the sorceress dies? Am I supposed to be emotionally invested in any of this? And it's just the nature of sort of where they started it because they did decide to start it with this big inciting incident. But if they had just spent a little bit more time setting some things up, even seeing the sorceress before all of this happened, you know, maybe like just seeing some of her wisdom versus saying like, everyone knows who the sorceress is. Let's just get to it. Mm-hmm. Not a fan of that writing, basically.
Interesting. I hear what you're saying. I 100% do. And I just think you want this episode to be something other than what it is, or maybe you just don't like what it is and wish.
No, I want a well-written episode of TV. Like,
I love the way it was written. I love the way they had those nostalgia beats in there, and I love the way that
I think
it kind of culminates
purely on nostalgia. I think you're being driven purely on nostalgia. I think that's why you liked it. I'm looking at it as like a technical standpoint of writing. This is technically bad writing. Like,
see,
this is not.
This is the equivalent of when I watch a wrestling match. And I get very unhappy. And Mr. Robert Clark Chan be like, oh, they did this and they did this. And I said, the psychology was all wrong. They did everything psychologically. And I think, Gina, this is the bridge. And I think I understand where you are coming from as a technical artist in this field. And I, not being that, made me feel different things because I didn't worry so much about the skeleton of it, per se.
But here's the thing. I went in really assuming I was going to love it and really wanting to love it because I love all the individual pieces of it.
Sure.
But yeah, like to me, this was an outline that you write in a room with a bunch of writers that then a good writer goes off and fills in the shading. And there's no shading in this. There's no, you don't get to live with any of the characters. You don't get any like nice character moments, you know, it's just that it was lacking.
I would disagree only in that you don't get a lot of them. I do think the moment at the end where Teela rejects being the man at arms, I think that is a nice character moment for her.
In the last shows 2 minutes of the episode.
Yeah, but I mean, at least we got one.
Ooh, so, I mean, when we get to that point and I tell you that I didn't care for it, that's going to be real fun.
Oh, boy. Well, let's get there. So we have a big old fight that happens between Skeletor, He-Man, Evil-Lyn, Orko, Man-at-Arms. Everybody's brawling. And there's a really great moment where Skeletor finally gets impaled by the power sword. He-Man sticks him. And there's a fun moment where Skeletor says, you finally, and making a joke about the 80s TV show, you finally use that sword how it was meant to be used. Then he turns that on its ear by saying, as the key to the castle, you stuck the sword through me and into the lock, thus opening the magical power within. It was a fun moment. I appreciated it as a fan of the 80s show. At which point we get an orb that has all the magic in all the universe. And of course, Skeletor's like, I'm going to break that. Causing the sorceress to stop time. And she says, I just wanted to see all of you. I mean, Teela, I mean, all of you for just one last moment. Before all of creation is ended, because all the magic is about to flood through here without restraint and blow us all out. He-Man says, what if I just powered up using the power of Grayskull while already being He-Man? And he says, well, I'm in this form. And Teela's like, what the fuck? And I appreciated that too.
No, because what happens is...
could absorb the blast and save the universe, yes. But He-Man, you would have to be wielding it.
The power of that much magical energy will kill anybody, even you.
That was Teela saying the power would kill anybody. How the fuck does she know that?
It's a good point. I guess she's making an assumption right there.
All of a sudden, she's a fucking expert on how the magic of the universe functions and the sword of this dude that she doesn't even know? What the F?
Seems a little bit sketch.
That was one of those things that's just sort of like I was saying, like it feels like all plot and no character. What the fuck business does that character have knowing that information? There's a you would think that all of the puns in the show would have made me happy. They don't. They very much don't.
That's wild.
Like there was a specific point I think where also I was like, what? Okay, that's enough of that. Wow. This one.
Sorry, sorceress. I'm not Clawful, but I can be.
What?
That was fun. That was real fun.
Why?
I'm not Clawful, but I can be awful?
Why would she say that?
Because she was Clawful when she was disguising herself.
Yeah, no, I got that.
Announcing, I'm not Clawful,
I see
but I can
the
be awful, and that's when she blasts her.
And I see you
that's
putting it together.
It's right there. I don't know how you missed
Why that. Would you do that? And that was after a string of them that I was just like, this is the tone doesn't make any sense. Like, if you're going to like serious it up, then you have to get rid of some of that stuff or reintroduce it in a new context, but doing it as like in stick around, you know, kind of 80s action hero toss off is some bullshit.
Wow. Chan doesn't like the puns. This is not an angle I was expecting on this episode. I'm not going
right?
to lie.
I'm coming at you from a lot of different.
I'll be honest. See. After like 20 years of doing this show with y'all, there's still something new to learn. And I think that's exciting.
Oh, the kinds of hate that I can bring. I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to give you different colors off my hate palette.
I know that's a big palette. Trust me. You have all the colors in the crayon box of hate.
You paint with all the colors of your hate.
So He-Man ends up absorbing this magical blast. The sword splits in half. Skeletor grabs his arm at the last second. Is like, I'm coming too, I guess. They all get just both blown out. Big old boom. He-Man gone. Skeletor gone. All the magic is now like the tap, you know, the hose of magic has now been cut off. And so magic is no longer dumping into Eternia. So you got to ration that stuff. And we cut back to the king's throne room where they get the report of what's going on. King Randor is pissed because he finds out his son is He-Man. Man-at-Arms knew and didn't tell him. So he banishes Man-at-Arms, says, if you ever come back here again, you'll be murdered. And he's like, Teela, we need you to take us into a bold and new generation. And Teela's like, fuck all y'all bitches, I'm out. Throws her tiara down, drops the long hair, and is just like, I'm deuces here. She quits. everybody's staring at each other being like, what the heck happens now? This is crazy. And credits, and I'm ready for the next episode. But apparently I'm the only one. Outrageous.
Yeah, the fact that she was all of a sudden like, oh, I can't believe all of these lies that you're telling me, I quit. Why? Like, everybody,
I mean, she found out every person she trusted in her entire life, Chan, has been holding secrets from her, and pretty big ones at that, that could have made a difference in her life. That's a pretty big deal.
Stuff that sort of makes sense.
Yeah, like, it's not earned, is what you're saying. Because yeah, it's not, like fucking, because the writing is not good. That's what I'm saying. It's not, nothing is earned. If they had spent a little bit more time, on some sort of, then her decision would feel like, okay, yeah. I get this. If, you know, if they had written in something where it's like she's super, like, it, because she's an orphan, it took her a long time to trust people, but yeah, they feel like her family, and like, you know, they're the only family she's ever known, and it took her a while to trust them, but now she has, and then you shatter that trust, then you understand it. I'm just saying, like, this feels like an outline that was given to sort of an amateur writer, and they were like, okay, got it. So like, magic goes away, they go back, she finds out, she quits, and it's like, great, that's the outline, but you need to put in some shades in there.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. I guess maybe it's my nostalgia talking, because it felt real to me. It felt like it was a twist on where I thought it was going to go, and it perfectly, like, opens the door for what the rest of this series is going to be, which is, you know, it's going to be very episodic as we just kind of go one station to the next station and nomadically through this post-apocalyptic, you know, it's basically Eternia becomes like a post-apocalyptic Fist of the North Star style show at this point, where we see sort of like where the other characters go after this incident as well. And it sort of becomes a what happens next kind of a situation. And it's that kind of storytelling. And I'm interested then to see if you're going to like or appreciate what's going to happen going forward, because of all this is now the preamble, and now we're into the meat of what this show is.
Yeah, but again, I just want to point out the fact that, like, I don't even think you're, like, you don't even seem to be arguing that it's good writing. You seem to be arguing that, like, oh, now I see where this is going, and it was the opposite of what I expected. But, and again, I'm not saying don't end the episode with Teela quitting. I'm saying you need to, like, I agree with Chan. You need to earn that and set up some backstory of why she feels so betrayed versus just, you know, like going from 0 to 60 when she finds out that they knew something that she didn't. It's not earned.
Interesting. I mean, now that
I have to watch this, I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt and say, like, okay, you know what? Maybe there's going to be something later where she's like, you know what? I told T-Man in confidence about, you know, the first time I got a period, and like, it was super embarrassing. And then,
oh, yeah, that's happening, Chan.
And now, you know, like, to find out that it was actually Prince Adam the whole time, that's fucked up. I'm willing to give them the leeway to do that in later episodes. But again, if that hadn't happened, I would not have bothered to keep going because
of
the way
it was
written.
So interesting to me about this is because this episode is most assuredly not a complete thought, and I don't think it was ever intended to be one, given the format of Netflix and how they do things. So it is interesting to me to hear this.
But you're saying, given the format of Netflix and how they do things, there are well written Netflix shows, like, that's not, that are, that have fully contained episodes. Like,
also, if you're going to make it deliberately incomplete or whatever, then just make, and because you have no time limits, make episode one 55 minutes, and then make all the rest of the episodes 29 or 24, whatever you want.
That's an interesting take. I don't know that I would have liked that as much. I feel like it would have become really slow and plotting at that point, and I love the pacing of this, how it doesn't give you a chance to breathe.
I just think you have no attention span.
Well, you just because you watched Don't Breathe this weekend, Ray. Is that why this whole not breathing thing?
I did watch Don't Breathe this weekend, and it was wonderful. because I went to go see G.I. Joe Snake Eyes in theaters a week ago. And saw an ad. I saw a poster for Don't Breathe 2, and I'm like, that looks interesting. And then there was a trailer for Don't Breathe 2, and I said, that looks super interesting. What the F is Don't Breathe 1? I don't know. Found out we could rent it when we got home that night. Rented it, and it is a perfectly acceptable suspense movie with only one moment of torture porn. So I'll take it.
Perfectly raise the acceptable canis. Thriller. He'll take it.
I will. I'll take a lot, it turns out.
I am going to posit that if this was a pilot episode of a random cartoon that we had watched and not He-Man, that Ray would not have liked it.
I guarantee you are correct, because I think that this plays off of, again, you say it, it plays off our nostalgia, it plays off our expectations, and it plays off of our knowledge of at least a basic idea of who these people are and what their relationships are walking in the door. It doesn't bother to take the time to set a lot of that up because it assumes the audience already knows it.
That's not, you're making a lot of assumptions, and I guarantee you no executive was like, oh yeah, like you can just write a crappy episode because everyone knows all these characters. Yeah. It's not. I'm glad that Chan, who seems to dislike it more than I did, because again, I thought it had all the ingredients but no chef to put them together.
So interesting. I didn't think it was. I didn't think it was poorly written like you did. It was just different. And like I say, I expected it to be one thing. I got something totally else, but was completely fine with what I was served. It's like when the waiter brings you the wrong dish, but it's pretty good. So you're just like, yeah, I'm glad I tried this today.
No, this is the waiter brings you a dish and it's like a can of soup and then like everything to make a really glorious salad, but he refuses to actually put it together.
I will say that I came in wanting to like it because I heard that the neckbeards hated it. And I was like, well, yeah, obviously, you know, if they're going to make Teela the lead instead of He-Man, like, I don't care for He-Man. Like, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I think it's a weird pre-adolescent power fantasy that only functions in the 80s because it was so like weird and almost surreal and like a real 70s vibe to it. And it was like goofy. Like, if you try and make this thing serious, it's just about a dude doing roids. And I'm not really into that. I was like, yeah, let's see some female lead characters and let's go somewhere else with it. And then what I got was it's Kevin Smith just being super nostalgic-y. Yeah,
interesting. Well,
I actually would have liked it if they had leaned more into the nostalgia. I think I would.
How could they have leaned more into the nostalgia?
With more writing. I'm telling you, this is the most underwritten pilot that I've seen that's intended for adults in a long, long time.
Wow. Interesting. Well, we're going to leave it at that because we will come back. We don't have to have, much like episode one, we don't have to complete our thoughts on this right now. We have other episodes that we can go through, and we will be able at the end of it all.
I'm very much hoping it gets better. I'm hoping that this was just sort of a prologue that people just don't know how to write pilots and thought like, all right, well, let's just poop the pilot out and then get on to like the actual meal of it. Like that is what I'm hoping for. Cause I was looking forward to this. I enjoy everyone involved. And again, all the ingredients are there.
Well, I don't think it was ever a pilot, though. I believe that Kevin Smith pitched this. They bought it, and he wrote all five episodes sort of as one idea, you know?
That's how every Netflix show is, because when you pitch them, you have to pitch three seasons at a time. That doesn't mean you don't still have to write a pilot for it. Like that's
even if you're Kevin Smith, you don't take it on faith if you're Kevin Smith?
I hate that you are looking at this. This is like if I watched wrestling, maybe, and it was like a really bad wrestling match. And you know what? This would be like if I watched wrestling and all of a sudden like the wrestlers like just didn't wrestle and they were just like sort of, you know, like playing a game of Stratego in the middle of the ring. And I said, no, it's not bad wrestling. It's just different, Ray.
You know, you're describing the Hell in the Cell match right now.
There's some stuff I can think of that was exactly like that. And now I very much want to get you on AE Double Back and have you watch an episode with no background and just see what you think.
I would love to just, you know, you guys each handpick a match and we watch it together and we talk about the beats of the match, but it's all literally like Hell in the Cell or very avant-garde non-wrestling stuff.
I hope I infuriate you with my takes and I hope that I say something like, oh, it's not... It's not wrestling. And then I hope it turns out that we actually had turned off wrestling and we're watching an old episode of Perry Mason. But I insist that it's still wrestling, but it's just different wrestling than what you expect.
I love it.
Because that's right, how Gina, I feel right now when you're saying you don't need to write a pilot. It's not, he wrote it with he wrote all five episodes at once.
People need to write pilots. My question is, if you're Kevin Smith pitching a He-Man cartoon to Netflix, I don't think they made him write one pilot and then come back to get notes on it and try to sell it based on the pilot. I think he sold the idea and came back later.
You're describing how every show at Netflix works. You pitch three seasons at a time. You pitch them the arcs, but you still have to write each. You still have to write each script, even if you're writing all the scripts at the same time, which, by the way, is how a lot of shows work. You still have to write a script that has a beginning, middle, and end.
Listen, all I heard was you telling me I was right in my assumption, and that's really all I needed to hear going forward.
All I was thinking about was showing both of you the Chris Jericho Nick Gage match from a couple weeks ago.
Pizza cutter match? Oh, Jesus.
Have you seen it?
Heard about it. No, I've heard about it.
I know the name Jericho. I didn't realize he was still... He must be super old by now.
He is.
That hasn't stopped a lot of people.
True.
Is the Suicide Squad guy still a wrestler?
They're all still wrestlers. John Cena. I think you're talking about. And John Cena and The Rock come back and do WrestleMania like all the time. So
Cena's actually coming back full time, I think, real soon.
But he's working on his solo movie. James Gunn.
No, he's doing a series.
TV show. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right.
And I'm here for it. Look, after seeing him, loving him in Fast 9, loving him in Suicide Squad, I'm ready for whatever John Cena has next. I will watch anything
It's the Suicide Squad. Thank you very much.
Oh, excuse me, Sarah Michelle Gellar.
The first one was Suicide Squad. James Gunn said he is the best improviser he's ever worked with in his life.
John Cena?
Yeah, he said because they're working on the TV show, and he said he's the best. He's the best improviser I've ever seen. And honestly, I can see it. I love that dude.
Not surprising. Here's the deal. It's not surprising when wrestlers can do improv pretty good, because a lot of the time when you're in the ring, you're doing you're improvising the match while you're getting punched in the face. So it makes sense to me that he would be pretty good at it, honestly. Yeah, he's pretty talented. He's very funny. I'm a big John Cena fan
been
now.
Knowing is half the Cena cast.
Yeah. Welcome to Knowing is Half the Cena. I love it. Anyway, guys, that's our episode. Master of the Universe. We're going to try to blow through them all. I think it sounds like a fun thing to do. If I'm just going to get derisively attacked every episode, we got a winning formula on our hands. Because I'll tell you, I liked every single one of these episodes, and I am prepared to get bludgeoned to death by these two these two delightful people.
I'm confident it'll get better when whoever writes the scripts learns how to write TV.
I believe Kevin Smith only wrote this pilot. It was the other four episodes were written by other writers, if I remember my credits correctly. So
yeah, I have confidence that they'll get stronger.
Yeah, I here's the deal. I don't have vivid memories of every episode because it's been a little bit since I've seen it, but I remember genuinely enjoying each one on its own merits, but we'll see where we go. Hey, guys, here's how you can get a hold of us and do stuff. You can always go to facebook.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. Join the Facebook group of Knowing Is Half the Podcast. Why not? You can go to patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. Welcome to all our new patrons. Like I said before, we got three new patrons just like in the last week, 2 weeks at this point since we recorded
this. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, and come on by. We'll see our live shows. We're going to do more Find Your Fate episodes of the Choose Your Own Adventure books. We're going to put them here on the main feed. We'll still continue to take your suggestions about other shows to watch. Kids Songs was suggested by one of our patrons, Channing Sherman. And so, you know, we do listen. We do want to make a show that you guys want to listen to. And we appreciate every single one of you for being a part of it. So thank you for that. So you can go to patreon.com/don'taccept the podcast for $5 a month, get you all access to the super secret vault and everything else that you might want to see in there. All the episodes we've ever done to the show that are not on the feed. Trust me, if you've enjoyed the show, you just started listening and you want a lot more content than the impressive amount we've already offered you on the feed, there's like triple, quadruple the amount of episodes that you can go listen to. Oh my God, it's sad to say, but it's true. In the vault right now. We're getting close to 500 right now, which is a little
also,
bit terrifying.
Also, if you listen to every episode, there are clues in there that will lead you to something, some sort of treasure.
Are we letting the cat out of the bag on that? All right, yeah. There are clues sprinkled, not in every episode, but in some episodes there are clues. There is a buried treasure. And if you listen to all 500 episodes, you should, if you can put them together, have the clues to find the treasure.
Yeah, it's like if anyone watched all of Gravity Falls, there's some weird shit in Gravity Falls.
You know, we talked in our chat that we were going to reveal this in December, closer to Christmas time. But again, I didn't put a picture of Zachary Levi in front of it. Not even Zachary Quinto. Like, we didn't get any of the Zacharys in there at all. And disappointed in myself right now because Gina obviously did not get that.
There's got to be somewhere online of Zachary Levi eating a spaghetti sandwich.
Who eats this? What even is? No, I let this pass earlier. Gina, spaghetti sandwich. What the F are we talking about here? Spaghetti.
What the fuck do you think
sandwiches.
It is? It's exactly what it sounds like.
An abomination. That's what it sounds like.
No, I'm going to put it in the chat right now so you
please
can
don't.
See it. And I guarantee you, you're going to immediately want to get it.
No, I'm not interested. I love spaghetti. I love pasta. No, I love sandwiches. Putting them together, that's immoral.
No,
that is against the Lord.
You usually use like garlic bread, and there was a great place in NoHo that used to make a really good spaghetti sandwich.
Yeah, I used to. Went out of business.
They don't exist anymore. That sounds
no. It's I don't live around there anymore. Grilled spaghetti sandwich.
Just
want
you to know that I'm going to New York in a few weeks. I'll be there for a month.
Gross.
And I'm probably going to be complaining about the food every single day. Most of it is going to be aimed at you, Gina, as I go through all of these things that you keep talking about that sound horrible. I'm going to try it and report back with how horrible it is.
I love it. Why? Wait a minute. You said most is it, Gina. Why is some of it coming at me at all?
Oh, no. It's actually the rest of it's going to Royce Shockley,
who
loves East Coast Chinese food. And I mean, that's I'm going to have words.
I conceded to you after I lived in New York for Murphy Brown for those 5 or 6 months. I conceded that you are correct about the Chinese food.
And I was going to leave it at that. Then you brought up spaghetti sandwich. Jesus Christ. You brought this
First
on yourself,
of all, I
Gina.
Only got a spaghetti sandwich out here. I don't even know if they make it on the East Coast. So that's not
that
a thing.
That sounds like
could...
a New Jersey thing.
I
How
mean,
could that
you
not
would
be
think,
a New Jersey
but
thing?
But I only discovered them once I moved out here. But
I'm
but
looking
I
up spaghetti sandwich and I'm going to find out.
That the Chinese food is much greasier on the East Coast. And I don't. And I didn't
like
care for it this last time. Although I will say, every place has scallion pancakes, and out here, that doesn't seem to be a thing.
I've never even heard of that before.
Oh, they're great. They're like my number one thing.
Nope.
But yeah, much greasier. So you can't. And also, I hate New York. So if you're complaining the whole time, I'm just going to consider it a victory.
You're from New York.
Oh my God, I'm gonna come.
It's like
I'm gonna drive to your house and I'm gonna murder your. I'm not
Jersey's
even gonna murder
like
you.
New York light,
I'm gonna murder
right?
your entire family first.
My God,
and then my understanding is
I'm
that
gonna let you live with it for like a week, and then
there's
I'm gonna
no
murder
difference.
You.
It's just like New Jersey is just like people who are insecure about living in New York.
I'm gonna like murder them in front of you also. Or you'll wake up and their bodies will be in your bed.
New Jersey is basically like the San Fernando Valley of
okay,
New York,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
This makes a lot of sense.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Whereas the San Fernando Valley is like Hollywood, But the porn version of it, New Jersey is like the porn version of New York.
I hate both of you so much.
This just all holds up.
The dialogue's all wooden. Nobody knows how to act.
I'm going to invent time travel just to tell myself not to ever get on this podcast with you guys.
All the fluids are awful and gross.
I'm not
going to
utilize it for anything else. I'm going to invent. No. I'm going to spend the rest of my life inventing time travel to tell myself not to join this podcast.
The problem, though, is you're not going to believe yourself, and then both of you are going to have to come on. So we're going to have two Ginas on the podcast instead of one that are both arguing with each other about everything. It actually might be a better show now that I think about it.
Okay, here's the thing. If people get the $200 tier of Patreon,
all right,
once I invent time travel, I will come on the podcast and kiss myself.
Should we tell Gina that we've already passed the $200 mark on Patreon?
Yeah, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Yeah. Thank you to our new subscribers.
I mean, the tears.
Yes, there will be tears, I'm sure. Who wants to kiss themselves other than Tom Hiddleston, I guess, and that's fine. He does what he wants to do.
Seems weird, you know, but he's into it. Anyway, if you want to reach out to the show, as we were in the middle of doing, you can always check out.
Oh, you were trying to end the show? Nah. I don't think so.
I got stuff to do. Shockingly, because I shouldn't. At G.I. Joe Podcast on Twitter, but individually, you can hit me up. I am at Almighty Ray.
At 909 RPMs.
I'm at Spaghetti Sandwich.
That is gross. And if you did change your handle to Spaghetti Sandwich, I would respect it, but I would not like it. Put that out there. All right. I'm going to go watch some Pizza Cutter wrestling match now. Get ready, because next week, more G.I. Joe Extreme. And then after that, episode 2, Masters of the Universe Revelation. You're here for it. It's 80s. It's now. It's knowing is half the podcast.
And the only thing that stands in their way is Prince Adam, who defends the secrets of Castle Grayskull as He-Man, the most powerful man in the universe. Only four others share this secret. Guardians of Grayskull all. Amidst an army of the honorable, committed to guarding Castle Grayskull from the havoc of destruction. For those who control Grayskull control the power to be masters of the universe.
Hey, you. No, don't look over here. Keep your eyes on the road. Got something for you. Take a listen to this.
In the newest Pokemon, they have Score Bunny, which is a starter.
What?
Yes.
Score Bunny?
So it's a fire bunny that plays soccer. He kicks balls.
He scores. Great.
Score, like Scorch, I think. Yeah. Oh, I get it. Like goal. Like Score Bunny.
Rad.
There's Score Bunny, who uses his mad soccer skills to steal, I think, like donuts or something like that.
How does he use his soccer skills to steal donuts?
He kicks it.
Oh, yummy.
The best part is, though, Score Bunny wants to go and follow Ash and go on big adventures. But
oh my
Ash
god,
is like,
Ash is still the main character of the anime?
Yes, where have you been? Yeah, so Ash is like, I'm getting on the train. I'm leaving, Score Bunny. And Score Bunny's like,
is it because he's 80 years old? That's why he sounds like that? Nothing makes donuts taste better than a foot coming in contact with them.
If you like what you heard and love co-op with your friends, check out Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast.